Welcome to the Almost 30 podcast. I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Krista, and we're your hosts, guides, and friends on this path. Almost 30 is not about your age. It's about the feeling. All of us are almost something, seeking community and resources to support the rumblings of transformation within us.
Our conversations are deep dives, shepherded by our insatiable curiosity and desire for connection, enduring inspiration, and a sense of levity that we can all benefit from.
We're looking to find the magic in the human experience.
Buckle up, baby. Your evolution is waiting.
Hello and welcome to Almost 30 Podcast.
Hi, everybody. It's Lynn and Krista, your podcast best friends. And we're so glad you are here. If you're new, welcome. We have over 500 episodes, no pressure, but we put new ones out every single week. And if you're an OG, thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
You got homework if you're new, baby. Don't go too far back, though. It gets crazy.
Yeah, it gets a little wonky,
gets a wild. Little crazy. Some are better than others. It's all good. Life is a journey. We learn as we go. But we've been having so much fun in this life and career as podcasters. It's been such a joy and a delight to learn every single week and bring, just insightful, deep, funny, fun, interesting conversations to you.
Yeah, this podcast is the product of Krista and I truly never planning to do a podcast, but just following this feeling we had when we met and this feeling that we had in our conversations as new friends and also going through our Saturn return, which is in your late 20s, and that strong feeling that we weren't alone. So we've met thousands of you out there that have gone through this transition, that are going through it, that have made it through and are now just feeling really, really good on the other side. Not only thanks to Almost 30, but thanks to just your own trust in yourself through the process. So we proud.
We proud of y'all. And today we're going to be talking about love and astrology, which is a conversation that so many of you enjoy here at Almost 30. And I don't think we've ever actually zeroed in on love and astrology. We've talked about north nodes, astrocartography, your natal chart. We've talked about so many different aspects, the elements, but we've never talked about love. So I think this is going to be a really good one. And I know that so many of us, when we are dating or in the dating world, we look up people's charts immediately. So this will be helpful for you because you can understand basically by identifying your chart in their chart what your super couple chart is, which is the blending of your charts together.
Yeah, so this is a new system created by sisters, the Astro Twins, Ophi and Tali. And it's really fascinating because I kind of went into it like, okay, they're going to tell me that a Gemini can't be with an Aries and just have all of these like rules and points to navigate this. But really, this is about optimizing a relationship with any two zodiac signs and helping you navigate the challenges, helping you navigate different seasons you have in your relationship, which they have four different seasons that relationships can go through. How to keep that relationship really like thriving and growing rather than stagnant and just kind of surface. So I really loved this conversation. They are OGs, they are experts, and you're going to learn a lot.
Yeah, I love the idea of creating a super couple chart because I do think it would be helpful, especially to look at it from this perspective rather than just comparing them kind of willy-nilly and comparing them from the basic sun signs. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people do that. And I was telling you that I pulled up like an ex-boyfriend from forever ago's chart, just like kind of noodling on my exes and what their similarities were, like what their differences were, what I liked about our relationship, what I would have changed. And if I would have known this man was a triple Pisces, the Wow. tender care that I would have given Dude. This individual is so crazy. Wow. But finding that out, I look at him totally differently because Wow. I'm like, he was always very sweet. And I'm like, wow, you just had so much emotion and feeling almost more than me. But it was really beautiful because as a Pisces myself and someone that is very tender, we did have that in common, like that very like that softness and sweetness. But I just think about how that would have helped me so, so much in our relationship.
Oh, my God. I mean,
I wouldn't have cheated on him. Just kidding. Just kidding.
In this episode, they're going to talk about our super couple chart.
Okay, cool.
Which is cool. So you'll learn all about that.
The OG super couple, pretty much.
The OG. I do remember, because I'm not remembering right now, because we did this a couple months ago, our chart sign as a super couple. Sean and I are Sagittarius as a couple.
That surprises me.
Kind of. Mm-hmm. It's like, as a couple, though, I feel like there is that kind of like adventurous wanderer in us as a couple, but individually, it's mostly him. But yeah, I'm excited for you guys to listen, because a lot of times when Krista and I are read on the show, which has happened many a times, a lot of you relate to either one of us or both of us, maybe in your friendships or just individually. And so we hope you'll take something away from that as well.
Yeah, you can see us as archetypes and tap into either archetype whenever you want. Take what you want, leave the rest. We have another conversation with the Astro Twins talking about astrology as well that I did, which was so much fun. I did it when I was in New York. And if you want to learn about astrology more, you can just search Astrology Almost 30. We probably have like 15 to 20 episodes with amazing people like Chani Nicholas, Spirit Daughter, Natalia Benson, some of the greats.
And we also talk about, at the end, the second half of 2023. So you'll get that little forecast for you. But the book is Super Couple. It's a beautiful book. I love it so much. It's nice and thick. These are Secrets for a Sexy, Soulful, and Satisfying Relationship by the Astro Twins.
So I'll be doing Super Couple for all the people I'm going to be dating.
Stay
tuned. I'll be super coupling all my potential mates. Okay, well, enjoy this one. And if you want more from Almost 30, we have courses and programs that we really love. So if you're a podcaster and you want to launch, grow, or monetize a show, we got you. We learned by trial and error. We've learned by being in this biz for a long time and by making it successful. So you can go to Podcast Pro for that at almost30.com. I also have my signature program, which is the Life Edit, which helps you align to your highest timeline by taking action every single day to edit all areas of your life. And then Lindsay has Sacredness of Being Single, which is her signature program about her single season. So all of those courses can be found at almost30.com. We also have Morning Microdose, which is our baby. It is the hits of Almost 30. So it is that 5 to 10 minutes you can tune into every single morning to get inspired, to get insights, to get conversation topics going, and just get in flow.
All right, y'all. Enjoy this one, and we will see you on the other side.
We love ya.
Bye. Okay, small actions are pretty major. I was walking down the street the other day in the morning. I was on my way to the gym and I wasn't on my phone and was consciously doing so. I was head up looking around, just kind of noticing things about my neighborhood and the people. And I smiled at a few people that walked by. And surprisingly, this is not a common occurrence, but they smiled back. And I know that me smiling at them somehow impacted their moment in the day, and it impacted me to get a smile back. And I don't know, I was just like, wow, these like small little things that we can do can have some pretty big benefits. And it just reminds me how small things we can do for our health make a huge whole body difference. One of those things I do is Seeds DSO1 Daily Symbiotic. It has just made such a difference in my gut, skin, and I know it has improved my heart health. It is a just two little capsules that make a huge, huge impact on your health. Just two capsules a day. I've been taking Seeds DSO1 Daily Symbiotic for about 4 years now, almost. Oh my God, it's been a long time, maybe 3 years. And I have never been more regular, which I love. It makes me feel really good. My skin has been clear, which is so nice. And I have experienced a huge reduction in bloating. So I know it works, because there have been a couple weeks here and there where I forget to bring Seed on vacation with me or when I'm traveling. And y'all, all of those symptoms come back. It's kind of wild. So I've just noticed such a difference. And it's easy to fit into my daily routine. I have it laid out every single morning. I take it on an empty stomach first thing in the morning, and it just sets off a chain reaction of really good habits throughout the day. So if you are not taking care of your gut, You must. Okay. This is the central hub for various pathways through the body, and a healthy gut microbiome means benefits for digestion, skin health, heart health, your immune system, and so much more. Seed is different because they have a patented capsule in capsule design, which means the fragile bacteria can survive the journey all the way in your GI tract from shipping to your door where it works best in your body. So it's a very unique thing that Seed has. And DS01 was developed in collaboration with Seed Scientific Board and based on their foundational work in probiotics and the microbiome. They are all about the science. So if you want to read more about the science, please go to their website. And I just love that it comes to my door every single month. My refill is there, so I never have to worry about it. So trust your gut with Seed's DSO1 Daily Symbiotic. Go to seed.com/almost30 and use code 25ALMOST to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DSO1 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/almost with the code 25ALMOST. I am juggling quite a bit lately. I have a new baby, 6 months in, and we are finishing our book and running a business and a marriage and a house. And it's just a lot, but everything is all good and just my dream, but it's a lot. But I have found that if my health routine is on point, then everything runs smoothly. And one huge piece of that routine is my supplementation. And Symbiotica has just always been a constant in my routine. If you haven't heard of Symbiotica, they're a health and wellness company that does everything with intention. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Like, I know them. Shervin has been on the podcast many times. I just have seen how passionate, how incredibly intelligent, how dedicated he is to creating products that are clean, plant-based, without toxic or harmful chemicals, which we need more of that in the world. So let me just run you through what I'm taking. I take the vitamin D3 K2. It's the liposomal form. I just squirt 12 little pumps in my mouth every single morning. I also take their B12. I'm also obsessed with the liposomal vitamin C. I have these little packets. Whether it's winter or whatever season, it's obviously great for immunity, but it also is amazing because it has biotin, one of nature's most beautifying ingredients. So I've seen an improvement in my skin, hair, and nail growth as well. I do have mom brain, but I'm doing my best to just support my brain health in any way. So for brain health, focus, and memory, I really love taking their liposomal magnesium L-threonate. It's an innovative form of magnesium that is able to cross the blood-brain barrier. It supports brain health, mood, immune system function, and overall well-being. It's incredible and tastes amazing. It's like this yummy vanilla cream flavor. That's the thing with Symbiotica products. They taste unbelievable. So it really makes taking all of these supplements so easy, so yummy, and I actually look forward to it. So if you want to give Symbiotica a try, there is no better time. Right now is the time. Symbiotica.com, C-Y-M-B-I-O-T-I-K-A. Use our code ALMOST30, 20% off site-wide. So major. And then when you bundle and subscribe, which I highly recommend because you never want to run out of anything, you're going to get an extra discount. So just do it up. Symbiotica.com and use the code ALMOST30 for 20% off site-wide.
Cool. I'm so excited to be here with you both. Long time coming for me. Krista has already sat down with one of you, but it was really important for me because Krista got a taste. I was like, damn it. Like, I just love learning about astrology and especially related to relationships, whether it's romantic or friendships.
That's what it's all about. How does anyone really get obsessed with this?
Truly, yeah, truly.
You start with that. Astrology people are relationship people. Like, it's fun to learn about yourself, but like, it's a boring topic if you're not taking the merchandise out, interacting with other humans, you know?
I completely agree. And it's just brought so much clarity and so much compassion to my relationships as I've learned more about astrology and other people's charts and just our, I don't want to say compatibility, but there's something there to like why we're brought together. And Krista and I have, our charts have been studied many times over the years on the podcast. We'll go into it today.
Love your devotion to astrology and human design.
Yes. And it's just brought so much light to why we're together on a growth level of like how she helps me grow and vice versa of like what we're meant to do here in the world. And same with like my husband, and I'm learning as we grow together too. So it just is a nice layer to play in rather than just like, okay, so you're controlling and, you know, I'm subservient, you know, whatever it is.
That out of the box, one size fits all relationship advice. It needs to be nuanced and accented with astrology.
I completely agree. So the latest book, Super Couple, which is gorgeous, by the way, they brought both Super Couple and the 2023 horoscope book are thick and gorgeous, and I'm so excited to dig in.
Q-U-E.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm. But I want to talk about the importance of Super Couple.
Yes.
And the different approach, because I think a lot of people, when they think of astrology and romantic relationships, they're like, oh, am I compatible? Are we compatible? Exactly. People have this like black or white feeling around certain signs can't be with other signs.
Yep.
So I'd love to talk about the inspiration for this.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is we're all the sum of our parts. Some parts of you will be compatible and some parts of you won't. We have essentially the same chart as identical twins, and we still have areas where we clash.
Yeah.
And so how do you explain that? Well, that's where Super Couple comes in, because what it is it's a composite chart. So what it does, it takes the midpoint of your sun and their sun, the midpoint of your moon and their moon, the midpoint of your Mercury, their Mercury, and so on. So it basically, if your two charts had a baby and met exactly in the middle, this is your Northwest, your blue ivy, your, you know,
essentially like what you're talking about is there are two types of compatibility charts. There's a synastry or comparison of the two charts side by side. That's what most people do. And that's how we get spun out into this whole talk about whether you're compatible or not, because there are these oil and water differences. But then there's a second type, the combined composite chart. And that's what Super Couple is. It's basically a full-on encyclopedia to reading your composite chart, because that is the third chart of, so your relationship is a zodiac sign, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to call it what sign is your relationship, but that was too much of a mouthful.
Super
and Super Couple is just like, no, it's like, that's what we all want to be, right?
Totally. And I feel like even that word kind of brings forth that intention.
Yes.
You know, it's not about finding what's wrong.
No,
it's not necessarily about finding what's wrong, but finding, and correct me if I'm wrong,
the two of you together.
And the opportunities.
Yeah, the potential, the opportunities. Exactly. It's very positive. We need that lift. Like, great that we're all working on traumas and other things, but simultaneously, we have to have some hope and something fun to tap into.
I agree. What aspects of this composite chart are we looking at in particular, and what do they mean? Are there certain planets or transits that we're looking at?
It's not really the transits in this book, but it's more like the chart, almost like the birth chart of your relationship. We do the sun, moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, you know,
every
Jupiter,
planet.
Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto.
So nodes.
And the nodes as well, the north and south nodes are in there. We're believers in past lives, so the composite south node does show like where your relationship started and where it's going. I've had really weird karmic interactions with guys who I have a Libra south node. I'll run the Super Couple chart and I'll be like, oh God,
we were married in a past life.
Gotta stay away from you, because you know.
One of the most fascinating things we found, because we love to look at celebrity charts, just public figures,
sure,
great teachers, or the modern kind of muses for us all. So it's fascinating when you see two kind of wild signs coming together in this sort of boring way. Like a great example is Justin and Hailey Bieber. She's a Sagittarius, free spirited. He's a Pisces, hard to pin down. They become a Capricorn sun together. All of a sudden, they're all married young, going to church, doing all these very adult things.
Yes.
Like, God, why are you so fascinating yet boring?
Oh, I never thought about it like that. That's so true. Like very
very adult.
Normal and adults.
Yeah, and dealing with like heavy issues. Like, didn't she have a stroke?
Yes.
And he has the facial, the Bell's palsy.
Yes.
And they went to therapy. And the relationship is a job. And that's a Capricorn super couple.
Wow, that is so interesting. Especially with celebrities, I'm curious. When celebrities marry celebrities, I assume it's because there's a lot of things to relate on, and just there's this safety and security and knowing that the other person gets it or understands. But is there anything in the chart too?
Oh, like, always, for sure.
I mean, yeah, we did Beyonce's chart with Jay-Z in 2003. We were backstage at the Billboard Music Awards in the celebrity swag room. That was a weird divine serendipitous thing.
Really,
we met Stevie Wonder that day too.
Oh, yeah.
Sting.
Cool.
And I know it was like,
we got invited to
best
like
day of our lives.
Yeah. Got invited to a table. We're like, yeah, do it. Yeah. And then they're like, okay, it's $10,000 for the table. We're like, we don't have that. And then they called us back. Would you come anyway? We think it would be a real treat for the stars. We're like, hell yeah. Yeah. And then so Beyonce was newly dating and kind of on the down low dating Jay-Z. But the rumor was out. So we did her chart. Do you want one for a you-know-who? So we did. We had a little software. We did a composite chart for them.
And they have like, what, 5 planets in Libra and Scorpio? Like
Yeah.
So, and same thing with Will and Jada. Their composite super couple chart is packed with Libra and Scorpio.
And what does that mean? That,
like, and those are the two signs that are most, you know,
bonding,
focused on relationships. Libra is the sign of marriage, and Scorpio is the after party.
Scorpio is the sex, the intimacy, the soul connection.
The mortgage, the reproduction.
Right. So you would, you know, you would think, oh, Beyonce's this nice, spoozy girl from Houston, and Jay-Z's a little scrappy, but together there's the sense of purpose.
Yes.
Like, this is my partner.
And they have, they have Scorpio Taurus nodes, I think, too. So there's this very deep
power couple, money, wealth.
Was there anything that came up around what they're here to, like the challenges that are like good growth challenges if they take them
on?
Oh,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, a lot of it is around just finding that balance between the material and the spiritual for them. You know, and privacy. They're very private together, actually. So that's Scorpio and the nodes there. So, yeah, the public, the private, as we know.
Yeah. Very fascinating.
The visual album out of everything?
I think they're both born in the year of the rooster, too. He's 69, she's 81. Yes. That happens a lot with couples 12 years apart. So,
okay.
When you see an age difference, I always check for the north and south nodes being in opposite signs, or
just
same
like 10 years.
Chinese lunar year, it's 12 years. Yes.
Yeah, so. Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
Brangelina.
I know. I can imagine as
the patterns.
The depth to which you are experts, you just discover these connections between. And is like the year of the rooster, is that modality connected to astrology?
Yes. Actually, every Chinese sign has a ruling planet that follows the same order. So let's see. Well, Jupiter is what determines what sign rules every year. Jupiter changes signs every 11.8, or goes through the whole zodiac every 11.8 years. So every Chinese sign lasts for about a year. Mm-hmm. And then we're in the year of the rabbit now, which is associated with Neptune, the ruler of Pisces, what kind of a Piscean kind of energy.
And rooster is Mercury, right?
Yeah, rooster's
it's
Mercury.
Virgo, so.
Got it.
Yeah, rooster is associated with going.
Think about
Mercury.
The rooster corralling all the chickens.
Yes.
Like, hey, get together. I was just in Hawaii and there are roosters everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm like, they are assholes. Like,
and
really
rooster
are.
Women are, I mean, Britney's.
Not calling Virgos assholes, but, you know.
But, like, yeah.
You know, but it's like, we are going to lay down the law for you chickens.
Totally.
Get in line, you know?
They're great performers, the women. I mean, Beyonce, J-Lo, who else? Britney Spears.
Yes.
They're all roosters.
Wow.
So,
fascinating.
Yeah. Strutting their stuff.
He's 41. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating.
Yeah.
To my earlier point of just the depth to which you go, there's just these connections between modalities and these just various like intricacies in the charts that must just feel so fun to discover and then see patterns with different charts or different people.
Oh, yeah.
In the public eye or not. I want to talk about destiny related to your chart, because I feel like people have an idea of what destiny is and it feels fixed to some people. And I'm not sure the answer of whether it is or not. But I guess, can we talk about destiny as it relates to astrology?
Absolutely.
Yep. I think free will and your chart are actually very connected. The more you learn about your chart, the more free will you gain, because that freedom is actually comes from consciousness, from understanding yourself. So destiny, I would say, you know, like you get an iPhone, you take it out of the box. It looks like everybody else's iPhone, but it's not an Android. It has a distinct operating system. But the more you start to customize it, the more it becomes your own. It's definitely your phone. That's how I liken free will to astrology. But we all do come with an operating system. That's our chart. Within that, we have so much room to invent, create, and make choices. So it's kind of like you have your basic blueprint and architecture. You move into an apartment, it's not furnished. You get to decorate it. But it is still an apartment, it's not a house. So your sign, your chart, you know, you work within what you have.
Right, right.
And destiny and timing and coming together with people, I think there's a lot. Yeah. Like she had her daughter, Sabelle, when, was it Jupiter, went into our fourth house of motherhood. Like, yes, of course, we have free will, but we notice in our own lives, because that's where you can really see and take it for the road test, is that things happen in sync with planetary cycles. Jupiter went into our fifth house of fame, and we had a TV show on, you know, come on Prime Video. Things happen like that. And then there is that sense with people that come into your life and stay there, that you have been on a journey before. And that's also where the super couple deciphering can really come in handy. Because you can look, especially at the, like we were saying, the north and south nodes. Why are you here? Even the people who stick around for a minute and then destroy you inside for months, like I think looking back on those exes too is also like, well, why did they come in? What was the lesson?
Yeah, that's certainly been a practice of mine and something that I've talked about on the podcast. But yeah, I think it's important because I feel like astrology has given me ownership and responsibility too, where there's aspects of my personality that I can see confirmed in my chart, where maybe it's a lower expression of it that I can really own and not be like dunk myself in shame or avoid or like deny. Yes, it's been very, very helpful with the higher and lower expressions. I know that every sign has kind of like a light and a shadow, if we want to talk about it that way.
So destiny isn't just one fixed point. Maybe it's a range of things. So what vibration you're putting out is going to attract something that matches that. So you're going to get a lower expression of the destiny if you're putting out a lower vibration of self. But that's why learning your chart and your super couple chart is so helpful, because then you become aware you're putting that out. People, we're our own biggest blind spots. We don't know what we're doing. People are always like, how is it to be a twin? I'm like, I don't know. I can only see her. It must be weirder for you. When I see twins, I think it's really weird the two people look alike.
Totally.
I can't see my face unless I look in the mirror. So,
or at me.
And that's what it's kind of like, you know, we all have this avatar of ourselves out there. It's how people see us versus how we think we're coming across. And we don't know. So whatever you want to use, like astrology, to connect those two things, great. Oh, this is what other people are experiencing when they are around me, not what I'm thinking they are.
So, yeah, sometimes the discrepancy is shocking.
Sure is.
I thought of social media when you said avatar. Because it is an aspect of self that's kind of like projected out there. I'm currently on an IG hiatus, which is an interesting, it's an interesting experiment. I do it every year.
Having withdrawal symptoms.
You know what? This time round, no, not at all. Honestly, I felt ready. I felt very focused and intentional this time round. Sometimes I rip myself off and I'm like floundering.
What's happening in your chart right now that's causing this?
It was I felt incredibly distracted as of late with social media. And I was like, I really crave depth. And whether that's in creating or in my relationships and social media for me, because I'm quote unquote a public person like that, sometimes pigeonholes me into a way of being, which is presenting to the world, which is like very true and honest, but it's a slice, yeah, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And then it kind of distorts my other relationships that I want to be deeper because mm-hmm. they're like, oh, you didn't tell me that, or
the lies of omission that yeah. social media mm-hmm. tells become, and then everybody's comparing themselves to what they see on your feed. She has a perfect life. No, exactly. I just told you one version of the story.
Exactly.
And the rest of the details. And even when you do vulnerably share it, it's like, then people idealize you even more. Mm-hmm. So you can't win because
I know.
It's all image.
I know.
It's what it does to the brain.
Idealizing that avatar. And I'm curious if there's anything in astrology that points to how people show up online, or if you've seen any for trends.
Sure. For sure. Saturn has been in Aquarius, the sign of technology and social media and community. And Saturn is very old school and it shows us the limits. So it's exposed the limits and also, I think, made us crave real IRL.
It's also Saturn's a planet of expertise. Mm-hmm. And in Aquarius, everyone's trying to show up as an expert on, oh, here's my TikTok skincare. I've done this for 5 minutes. Now I'm an expert.
I'm a life coach. I'm 15 right. years old.
Exactly. Yes.
Although my daughter did make an 12-year-old acai bowl, that was pretty masterful from TikTok.
Okay.
The kids are definitely learning some things.
They are, but still. Pluto comes in and tears everything down and then forces us to rebuild it. And it's inching towards Aquarius right now. It's moving into Aquarius for just a little slice of 2023, from March 23rd to June 11th. And then it's going to go back and forth between Capricorn and Aquarius. Then November 19th, 2024, it's 20 solid years in Aquarius for the first time since 1778 till 1798. So that was when we got the Constitution. It was the French Revolution. So
sounds fun.
Yeah.
What a big deal. The dollar was minted. There was a crappy currency that had gotten fraudulently
continental.
Right? Yeah. So there was a...
Sounds like something.
This is great.
Continental.
The colonists had their own currency called the Continental, but it was fake printed. And just like we've overprinted money now with inflation. So
totally. And I'm thinking of like a Bitcoin or cryptocurrency vibe.
Exactly. I think we've been talking about this for a couple of years. Like the dollar bill was created for a more monitorable, system.
Yes.
I guess that tells us where the future of crypto is headed.
Well, I don't know. When Pluto went into Capricorn, which rules governments and the economy in 2008, we had the mortgage crisis, the bank bailouts. Yeah. We got Obama, but halfway through we wound up with Trump. But now we're wrapping this up. And so, I mean, when Pluto went into Sagittarius before that, which rules media and global relations, we used to spend $30 for a minute overseas to a call. We had no internet. And then it's like, boom, we emerged in 2008 with smartphones, global.
5G everywhere.
And so what's going to happen? Pluto in Aquarius is giving us a new relationship with social media, technology, aliens, outer space, community and sharing. So I think the way we share, the way we commune, I don't know, are we going to become more of a tribal culture? Are we going to want to block out, like, I think people are sick of having no privacy, nowhere to go where they're not regulated. Yet some people are ready to be transhumanistic and have...
I know.
So you're transhumanism?
It's getting so sci-fi up in
and
here.
I think the intensity and the polarity there is kind of forcing people to be like, so I'm either this way or that way. Or I should have a farm in the middle of nowhere or I should... Right. Clone myself. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
There's no like comfortable middle ground, at least yet. But
I know a couple groups of people on the West Coast who tried the whole farm fantasy.
Oh, yeah.
And while Saturn was in Aquarius, the farm fantasy is not all it's cracked up to be.
I've had that fantasy at times. And then I'm like, so I can't walk to get something from the butcher, the baker, the CVS,
slaughter the cow yourself and milk it before you do and then collect the eggs.
And
oh my God, I had a friend with sheep that turned into a, she broke up with someone over sheep.
Actually, she couldn't break up because they both had an emotional attachment to the same sheep.
No way.
It was like a custody issue.
Yeah, totally. I relate.
Make sure you know your attachment style before you do that.
Maybe we'll get it right.
I think people go to what the feeling is represented by. So it's like, what do people really want?
Mm-hmm.
Do they want more connection to nature? Do they want more intentional time and connection with people they love? And then they kind of see what other people are doing maybe to achieve that. Right. And they're like, I do that. Right. Instead of like, let me feel into like what this is for me and what this could look like for me. So it's...
I love that you're saying that because in our 2023 horoscope book, we always do a numerology chapter every year. And this is a seven universal year, which is all about exactly that, like balancing spirit and science, balancing the, let me observe and not rush and listen and, you know, and then also like, but my intuition is telling me. So listen to your intuition, but don't act upon it immediately.
Yeah, totally.
Or you'll end up with a sheep instead of a kid.
Right.
Which might not be the worst thing.
I mean, the sheep is a part of the divorce.
Right.
Exactly. You know, and it's cloned, you know, to make it,
Yeah, it's so wild. I definitely want to get to the like second half of 2023 in a little bit. So we'll put a pin in that.
It's a big one for you because you have your North Node return.
Oh, thank you for telling me this.
Yeah, your North Node's in Aries on July 17th for the first time in 18 and a half years.
Wow.
The North Node heads back into Aries till January 11th, 2025. So, destiny calling.
I would say if you do want to have kids, it's a great time because then they'll have the same nodes as you. I did. I mean, it was an accident, but nonetheless, my daughter and I have the same North and South Node, and it's very comfortable.
Boy, that's amazing. Yeah. Wow. Wow. Yes, I will be ordering mom astrology. Mom astrology.
When that time. And a child. Order up a child. Yeah.
Okay, I need to introduce you to a revolutionary new app, Superhuman. I have been doing these Superhuman activations every single morning for the last 3 weeks. Let me just tell you, I kind of fell off of my game after I had the baby. Most of my time and energy was going to him, still is, but I have been able to carve out time in the morning before I get into the swing with him. And I've been doing these activations. I do a lot of the shorter ones because I don't have a ton of time. But let me just say, this is new. Like, this is a new type of audio that are super energizing and really specifically designed to transform you into your future self. So I know a lot of us want to manifest things. I know a lot of us are thinking about planning for the future, but a lot of us feel stuck. And so I've just felt like this has unstuck me in just the most beautiful way. So I've been doing a lot of their pep talks. I've been doing some of their writing activations. This morning I did the three morning questions. It was a 7-minute, really vibey writing activation that I love. So I had my journal out. Yesterday I did a pep talk about tackling procrastination. There's a part of me that procrastinates quite a bit. So I'm just, I love this. I love this. There's going to be an activation for you for this moment, for this day. It's incredibly supportive. So we actually interviewed Mimi Bouchard, the founder, not too long ago. Check out that interview. And we have a sample of one of the activations on our feed. So you can check that out as well. It's way easier to implement into your routine and far more effective than any other audio app out there. I've just noticed that I'm doing it much more consistently. So please don't miss out on this crazy deal. They rarely do discounts. On top of the 14-day free trial, get over 60% off your subscription for a limited time only at activation.com/almost30. Literally, there is no risk. If you change your mind and forget to cancel after the trial, you're covered by their money back guarantee. The offer is only available through their website, not on the app store. So that's activations.com/almost30 for 60% off. It expires soon. Okay, small daily actions.
They just make a big difference. And I just cannot emphasize this enough. It creates this cascade effect and honestly a snowball effect. So one begets the next really great, positive, small action, but it almost has like a bigger impact as the week goes on. And I'm just someone who very much believes in this, whether you're like smiling at a stranger, or maybe you wake up a little bit earlier to practice your meditation, or maybe read part of the book that you're loving, or maybe you integrate a healthy habit like taking a probiotic, which is something that I've been doing for a few years now. I've been taking Seeds DSO1 Daily Symbiotic, and I love it. And I've just noticed that this is the catalyst at the beginning of the day for a ton of healthy choices that I make. And I've noticed a difference when I don't take it. I forgot on vacation a few months ago and I noticed a difference. I was bloated. I wasn't as regular. I started to get a little breakout on my chin. Things were just going haywire. So I'm just so thankful for Seed. If you are someone who wants to support your gut or your skin, digestion, your gut barrier integrity, I recommend Seed. Their DSO1 Daily Symbiotic is incredible. What is different about Seed? So Seed's patented capsule and capsule design is so unique. It basically means that the fragile bacteria within the capsule can survive the journey. So from like shipping to your door to when you put it in your body, all the way through your GI tract, all without synthetic or chemical coatings. And this was developed in collaboration with Seed Scientific Board and based on their foundational work in probiotics and the microbiome. They are the best in the space. So I trust them and I've experienced incredible results. So trust your gut with Seeds DSO1 Daily Symbiotic. Go to seed.com/almost and use the code 25almost to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seeds DSO1 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/almost. The code is 25almost.
So I want to talk about examples of valuable challenges in a chart that you've seen, because I feel like and I'll just speak for myself. Sometimes I see, whether it's through astrology or just I'm sensing a challenge in a relationship, at least early on in my relationship with my husband, oh God, is this going to work? Like I was more averse to really being there and not running away. I was just like, this is too hard. This is too hard. I don't see the point.
Yeah.
And I didn't see the purpose.
So get it. Like, how do you know whether to stay or go? That was one of our intentions with writing Super Couple, because when you go to the comparison chart, it's so easy to be like, okay, we're this is it. I give up. It's never going to work. This book is meant to be a roadmap for you to like, let's try this first.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can meet in the middle. What I love about the Super Couple chart, it doesn't matter. The relationship may or may not work out, but it's like I had a boyfriend once who was from the Middle East and I grew up in the United States and we just could never speak each other's languages properly. But we decided to meet in Paris and neither one of us spoke French. And it was the best 4 days of our entire relationship because there was this level playing field. And that's what I think of as the composite chart. It's like, you don't have an advantage. I'm not in your turf. You're not in mine. Yes. There's all these power dynamics and struggle. So I think every challenge in a chart is valuable, but it becomes not an asset when you just get stuck in a dynamic. Yeah. But what happens is that's your invitation to unpack that dynamic. Well, where is this coming from in my, it's like, that's when you have choice. Am I doing this level of work? Where is this originating from? This person is pushing a button. We love internal family systems, parts work. Cause it's like, then you can deal with it. This part of them is triggering this part of me. Where can I find it in the charts? Celestial scavenger hunt. And what would be a good tool to use for that? That's how I would recommend approaching it.
Yeah. No, I love that visual of you meeting in Paris. Like, I just see the chart as like this neutral meeting place and having a positive intention going into wanting to be together, wanting to grow together.
and now having a bit of a map on how we can do that and leverage that.
Yeah. What made you decide to stick it out?
Yeah.
What was it that made you say, I'm going to face the challenge?
Yeah. So many things. I feel as though on a soul level, I felt like the deep purpose of our relationship. Mm-hmm. And he's someone that has always called me to be myself and the highest expression of myself. Mm. And 10 years ago when we met, I was like, absolutely not. I'm 24, 25. It was right before my Saturn return, a couple years before. And I was working in the bars. I was serial dating. I was going after the guys that had no time for me. Mm-hmm. I was drinking quite a bit. I just wasn't respecting myself on all levels.
It wasn't time either.
Yes.
Yeah. You were 24.
Exactly. And we met and he was just so clear. He was like, I would love to get to know you and take you out. And he was so just kind and clear. And I was like, this is too much.
Yeah.
So we always remained connected and friends, did a little dance every once in a while. But it wasn't until a little over 3 years ago when we reconnected that I had gone through my Saturn return, lots of therapy, lots of just inner exploration. I felt like a completely different person. And I just saw him and I was like, oh, clear.
Yeah.
And I'm here for it. Like, I don't want to run. I love how we challenge each other because I know there's just that, like deep soul purpose.
And that's, I think, when you're ready to kind of grow, in a relationship. Like,
that's true.
When you're ready to have a relationship is when you're ready to accept that there will be challenges and make space for them. I think a lot of people are looking for a challenge-free relationship and they wind up being perpetually disappointed, perpetually single. And it's okay, if you don't want that. But that's just not, these idealized, we've never had a fight in our lives. Well, it's someone's cheating then.
It's in the chart.
I'm glad that we asked you that. And I loved your answer because I think you'll love when you look at Super Couple. We added a few things in at the beginning and the end. And in the intro, there's a part called the Four Super Couple Seasons, based on the decade of your life you're in. Mm-hmm. So those cross-section with the chart, if you're going to have this super couple relationship in your 20s, you're going to be in one phase because you have the Saturn return.
Yes.
In your 30s, you have all these transits that happen that test your boundaries. Then you get to the Uranus opposition.
I wanted to talk
40s.
About that. Yep. Yeah. Very interesting.
When I saw that Adam Levine from Maroon 5 was having this
whatever
he did, I was like, he's got to be 42. And indeed he was.
Yeah.
We can
chat about the crisis planets.
Got
early 40s.
What is Uranus?
So Uranus. Is just Uranus.
Yes.
There's no good way of saying it. Uranus is where your head is up your ass for better or for worse.
You're willing
to just kind of be a rebel, a teenager, a disruptor. Mm. You're not paying attention to the consequences, which can create change in a good way. It's also science, but it's the only planet that spins on its side. So it takes 84 years to do one full orbit around, and go through all the signs. And at 42, it's exactly opposite in the zodiac where it was when you were born. That opposition is it's as far away from your native energy as possible. Mm. And so you're going to, of course, we learn in our youth of, don't touch the hot stove. But during the opposition, you get selective amnesia. You buy the red sports car. You have a fling with a lifeguard.
Well, it's supposed to be when...
Not that I've done those things.
It's supposed to be when the kundalini energy awakens. Wow. So it's supposed to shoot up through your chakras. And for men...
electricity.
Yeah, so for men, that's supposed to hit them in the heart chakra and open their hearts. And then they get this burst of feminine energy, quote unquote, not to be stereotypical by gender. And for women, it's supposed to hit the throat chakra. And you notice a lot of women at that age have thyroid issues.
Wow.
Because suddenly this burst of energy awakens our voices and this yang energy. So Uranus is a planet of youth. So it's like that last burst of fertility and youth. Even if you're in the quote unquote perfect super couple or synastry relationship, you're going to still, things can be going along. And then one of you hits the you know, it's like, here's Adam Levine. He's married to a model who supports him and all the, they have kids. Why would he do this to his family? That's not what he's thinking about. Sure. He encountered an energy. If you know, oh, you know, there's going to be that traffic ahead. It's coming. I'm probably going to be attracted to a coworker. I'm probably going to have a midlife
crisis.
And
what it comes down to is wanting to reconnect your youth, which biologically makes sense, but also astrologically, because you also have your Saturn opposition at that time. So the first time you have a Saturn opposition is when you're like 14 years old.
Right.
So you also are like, Saturn is rules and boundaries, and you want to push against the boundaries then. Neptune, which is very slow moving, takes 165 years to orbit through the signs. It hits a square. It's 90 degrees from where it was around age 40, 90 degrees away from when you were born. So Neptune normally has no boundaries. So that's where it's interesting.
Kind of
a lot of times at 40, like women especially, who are taught still to not say no, learn to love the word, but can get a little carried away with it too.
Well, you've spent 40 years training the people in your life that you are this way and setting up these dynamics maybe for 10, 15 years in a relationship. And then all of a sudden, you don't know why, but you're feeling like a different person. Or you just, it's like, you hit this energy and you got to get through it in order to transcend it or transform it or integrate it, whatever, metabolize it, whatever you want to say. If we know that's coming, we can prepare, I believe, but we so often don't. And they're like, what is happening
to me?
It must be perimenopause. It gets blamed for everything.
And it should be.
And that's how we feel about when we reference a Saturn return. We're not experts by any means, but this podcast was started during our Saturn return and is something that was foundational to what we talk about and why we create what we do. And it's been so cool to see people, women in particular, understand that they're about to go through or they are going through their Saturn return.
Oh my God.
And just have the light bulbs going off, the hearts opening. They're just like, oh my God, okay, this all makes sense.
Yeah.
And there's not this, why me? Why is everything happening to me? Feeling they really become so much more empowered during that period and understand the purpose of Saturn. And I'm curious, so you mentioned in your 30s, you mentioned boundaries.
Well, yeah, one of the big things in your 30s is the second nodal return, which you're going to have this year. So the north and south nodes, which are connected to the eclipse cycles. Eclipses go through a full cycle every 18 and a half years. The nodes are the points in the sky where the, it's complicated, we don't, but basically they're connected to the eclipses. The south node, whatever sign it's in, is like your comfort zone where you'll have ease, maybe get complacent, but you've already done, you're on that karmic journey. It's not unfamiliar to you. The north node is the new language you're here to learn, the one you're here to move towards. And so every 18 and a half years or so, you'll get back to those lessons again. The first time happens when you ostensibly leave home or go to college or break out and do your own thing around 18, 19. But again, around 36 to 38, you'll have that again. So a lot of times we see now, that's a good time to have a kid, I think, in our modern era, because you wind up having the same soul grouping as your kid if that happens, you know. But also you just, you decide whether or not you want that. You kind of are like, okay, this is, you kind of crystallize your path that you begin with the Saturn return. And you're like, okay, this, I'm sticking to it. Now I'm ready to have a little more fun again after that too.
Fascinating.
Right?
I would love to talk about a couple charts you have in your hand just to kind of
I have the
put into practice the super couple composite chart.
Do you want to do the composite, the super couple for you and Krista?
Sure, I would love it.
Okay. So together, so this is kind of a nice coin toss. She's a Pisces, you're a Virgo, you become a Sagittarius, which rules publishing and media and wisdom and teaching and new perspectives.
Traveling, expansion, you probably really broaden the heck out of each other's horizons.
Yes, big time.
All the metaphysical
Very
stuff
lucky
you guys
together
talk
when you guys
about.
Combine that Sagittarius energy just
sharing the wisdom.
Yes. Feel that.
And then she's a Sagittarius moon. You have a Gemini moon. So together you have a Virgo moon. in that chart. So all about the books and the reading and the learning and just connecting to people through asking questions. And
but also emotionally, and you know, the moon is kind of your needs together. Like, you guys need a lot of structure probably too.
Yeah.
And that is and
planning.
That, whether that comes easily or not, it's probably like, okay, let's batch things out. Let's schedule these. That's been maybe the if you don't have that, there's an upset.
And we have different ways in which we express that. Sometimes I want like freedom, no structure. And she's like very structured coming from like a corporate background. But then sometimes she wants kind of total freedom. And I'm like, no, but we need to do it this way, you know, very particular.
What's fun is that you have opposite sun signs and opposite moon signs from each other. So you're like really dead in the middle. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because Sag and Gemini are opposite as well.
Wow.
But your rising signs are one sign apart. So she's a Virgo rising, you're Libra rising. You won the coin toss. Together, you guys become a Libra rising.
That makes sense. All the beautiful branding that you have, the rising being your front-facing, you know, together. I don't know, you guys have a very glamorous Libra brand.
Love the photos and everything. It's also just very, like, that soothing Libra aesthetic is super important. Interesting, Mercury, which rules communication, and since this is a podcast and media platform, hers is in Aquarius, yours is in Libra, so both air signs, which is great for talking to people, and that also becomes a composite Sagittarius, your composite Mercury, your super couple chart. So also talking about that amplifies the Sagittarius sun. It's all about talking about the big ideas and just growing a media platform.
The questions that need to be asked.
Venus and Cancer, Mars and Scorpio in the composite chart. So a lot of, you know, women for sure.
Venus and Cancer, Mars and Scorpio. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So relationships are probably, and emotions find their way into your dialogue a lot.
Yes.
Decoding emotions.
For sure.
This is
all
about,
the time.
It's about that emotional intelligence. Like, you will really want to create that safe space. And so your membership does that too. Safe, beautiful home for predominantly women, female identified people, allies of women to come to. Respect for the divine feminine, but also with the moon in Virgo, taking a step back from it, that gives you a little analytical distance to decode the mystery of emotions.
What are their composite new?
And this one, Krista won, because she's a Virgo South Node, Pisces North Node, and you're Libra South Node, Aries North Node. So you're Virgo South Node, Pisces North Node together. So it's all about the spirituality and nature and the plants and microdosing and all the things that you guys talk about.
Health and healing and wellness and all that. It's a big
Saturn and Sag.
Sharing that the world, you're here to do that.
Wow.
Open people up to it, you know.
Yes I mean, everything is spot on. I don't know about you, but when my like skin on my body, not just my face, but my body skin is like glowing and supple, I just feel like a freaking million bucks. It gives me so much confidence. And so I wanted to give you a little insight into what I'm doing to just get my body skin looking glowy and gorgeous. Osea, you've heard us talk about them for years. They are a brand that we are so loyal to, love deeply. They're clinically proven seaweed infused skincare is just results driven. I've gotten results with every product that I've used from Osea. And I'm really excited for you to try. Oh my gosh, it's gone viral many times over. The Undaria Algae Body Oil. Oh my God. I get compliments all the time. Okay. It is super rich, but not greasy. And it's clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity. It smells unbelievable. Let me just say that. You'll feel like you're in a spa. It visibly firms your skin and makes skin feel more sculpted and toned. I just love the way it makes my legs and arms look. And it's just, it leaves your skin silky and soft and glowy. I love it so much. Sometimes if I'm feeling just extra, I will add the Undaria Algae Body Butter. This is indulgent, buttery, rich texture. If you have any crepey skin anywhere, like I have some crepey skin on my elbows. Oh, it's helped so much. Clinically proven to hydrate for 72 hours. It's awesome.
So those are my two like top products right now, but they have a ton of incredible products that I want you to check out. The Andaria Collagen Body Lotion, also one of my faves. All right. So if you want to glow from the inside out, babes, with the clean vegan skin and body care from Osea, you can do so. OseaMalibu.com. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code A30POD. Write that down, A30POD. At OseaMalibu.com, you'll get free samples with every order. They're so amazing about that. And free shipping on orders over $60. So head to OseaMalibu.com and use the code A30POD, A30POD, for 10% off. Okay, this app has been with me through seasons of wanting to prevent pregnancy and also get pregnant. The app is Natural Cycles. It is a leading women's health company that they created the world's first FDA-cleared birth control app. So the app's algorithm uses hormone-driven changes in body temperature to let users know when they're fertile and not fertile. It is so easy, y'all. Every single morning I wake up, I have the thermometer on my bedside table, and then I take my temperature, I input the temperature into the app, and boom, there you go. It is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. It's pretty incredible. I know a lot of people are just thinking about their birth control. A lot of people are going off hormonal birth control. This is an incredible option for you. I've been using it for a couple years now. And again, it is so easy. So the algorithm uses the body temperature to determine where a user is at in their cycle. The more they measure, the more data it will have. And if you have an Oura Ring, by the way, it syncs with your Oura Ring and it'll take your temperature automatically. Pretty cool. You can trust Natural Cycles. For the past 10 years, they have been setting the precedent for non-hormonal and non-invasive birth control without sacrificing effectiveness. They were the first to introduce a birth control app, the first to receive FDA clearance as a birth control app, and the first birth control app to integrate with that wearable device, the Oura Ring. They're the best. I'm excited for you all. Listen, as our listener, you are going to get a discount plus a free thermometer, baby. Use code ALMOST30 at naturalcycles.com to get 15% off an annual subscription plus a free thermometer. That's naturalcycles.com. You're going to use the code ALMOST30 to get 15% off an annual membership and a free thermometer.
Do you want to know about you and Sean together?
Sure. I would love that.
In your individual charts, your rising signs are squaring each other because you're a Libra rising.
Yeah.
He's a Capricorn rising. So that would make sense why he would be so in the rising sign. It's kind of like your compass, what you're focused on the external world. So it was all about experiencing romance and relationships for you at the Libra rising, whereas he was focused on building. Yeah.
So I'm just curious what that combines into.
You guys ended up with a Scorpio, 29 degrees. So you just made it a Scorpio composite ascendant, rising sign. So really, people might look at you guys and be like, there's a whole lot of things I don't understand.
Sexy power couple.
Sexy power couple, but also like it's a mystery. Like you're totally private.
Yeah, we're very private.
Mm-hmm.
Except until now.
I know.
Yeah.
Right. We were very private.
God. Well, you don't have to be so private because you're a composite Gemini sun and moon.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're fun.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of conversations, lots of talking about the things. Yeah. This is interesting because the composite can go in one direction or another. With Krista, you become a composite Sagittarius, even though she's a Pisces. With Sean, you become a composite Gemini with the system that we use. So, you know, she's more of like where you have the high-minded talks. And I don't know, I feel like you guys like to watch a lot of TV shows, go to concerts, go to that kind of thing, or do you talk about all the ideas and everything?
Yeah.
A little more of a mundane
best friend.
Yeah. So we definitely have that type of connection. And like we do talk a lot, and there's like a depth to which we can go. There's like the strategy of
each other's kind of like cheerleaders
and help each other vision.
Totally.
And then we can be like totally silly and.
Yeah, you can be playful in that. I like that you said strategy because that's more the Gemini. It's not like you don't get lost in the abstract. It's very tactical. Like, how are we going to make this thing happen? I've got an idea.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've got an idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
And then, you know, your Venus and Mars, of course, as a romantic couple are very important. So Venus is in Sagittarius and Mars is in Cancer. So that would say travel and home are both mm-hmm. important.
That's true.
And that's a really very good, true. You know, Venus and Mars in the super couple composite chart are a great thing to look at when you feel like you hit a plateau at all. Because Venus is like, okay, how do we get the energy flowing for romance again? So for you guys with Sagittarius and that composite is probably, okay, where's our next big vacation? Like you have to go somewhere you have to go to Paris. Like
adventure,
Adventure or sports too, maybe doing something athletic together. But Mars and Cancer, like if you want to get the, you know, va-va-boom flowing again, you look at Mars. And so it's like maybe a little more softer and cut, you know, we need to connect.
That's an opportunity point,
I would say. So here's, like you said, destiny or challenges. This is a great example because you have Mars in Gemini. He has Mars in Virgo. Two Mercury ruled signs very much in the head and in the analytical realm. But together, they become Cancer, which is all emotions. So, you know, Mars can also be where there's stress and tension. And, you know, so things maybe get a little too intense at home. Like maybe if you're both working from home or just can get a little hot under the roof sometimes. So you go back to the Gemini and the Virgo when it gets intense at home, when it gets too disconnected. You do or more embodied emotional
drown in the emotionality. You feel like you're parenting each other. And then it's like, go read a book or go hang out, you know, go dancing, go do something that's like more
light and social.
Totally.
So you can kind of toggle back and forth between your own individual charts and how they go together. And then the super couple version of it. And then you get this complete recipe. You get the Paris that we talked about.
Totally. Yeah, the toggling back and forth is interesting. Would you say you refer to your own chart when you're wanting to just cultivate an energy within yourself?
And then just understand the contrast. Okay. Like, okay, so he's Mars in Gemini. You could say, oh, why is he just talking so much? He sounds like a robot. He's, what is his emotions? He has
does
no
he
heart.
Start a lot of projects and tinker with things? Sometimes?
Or read a lot of books.
Yeah, loves books.
Loves the YouTube stuff, whatever. It's like, so you
how-to of things.
You go, that's his design. Honor that. Yeah. You know, and my design is Mars in Virgo. I'm going to go probably mess around in the kitchen.
That's it. That's me.
I'm going to make some plant-based concoction. But I'm going to bring it together maybe through Cancer by making some plant-based dinner. And he'll do the playlist because Gemini's the DJ. So you go, his strength, my strength, our strength.
Love that.
I'm thinking about that Esther Perel quote, how relationships rest on two pillars, togetherness and autonomy. So the togetherness is the super couple chart. The autonomy is your individual chart. Yes. You need to feed both if you want to keep the energy flowing. So it's like the toggle.
Astrology toggle solves the Esther Perel mystery that we're all obsessed with.
Sorry,
but it's so true. I mean, I learned that through my relationship with him because I felt pretty codependent in the beginning where I'm like, why don't you want to spend all your time with me? Why do you want to? You know, just having that very codependent thing.
And that's your Libra South node.
Yeah.
In all your past lifetimes, you were always in a partnership and you're learning your Aries North node, how to be on your own. So that's something that you, to your earlier question, you bring, that's my challenge in this relationship. Mine and mine alone doesn't mean he can't support me, but this is my responsibility to be aware of it.
Yes.
That's when something becomes a deal breaker is often like, you're like, why isn't he taking care of me? Why isn't he paying enough attention? How can I ever be happy? And you go, let me look at my chart. Do I have a past life pattern where I've always looked to others for happiness? Well, ding, ding, ding. There it is. Libra South note.
Yeah.
My work is to find happiness myself. And then if he's not making me happy after that, then we'll have another conversation.
Yeah, that's I love that you walked us through that. That's so powerful. So we're looking at the South node. We're really taking responsibility for that. We're kind of working with that. And then if it still feels a little off, we can make the right
decision.
Maybe
not going to be the thing that makes me happy.
Right.
Love them, but happiness isn't found. And I feel like go right to the South node and start there. If you're like
dating someone with an opposite South node, the super couple chart is a lifesaver. I seem to attract men with Capricorn South Node, Cancer North, or Cancer South Node, Capricorn North. So for me, it's like, okay, I've been a mom in so many lifetimes. It's a career for me, but I have a maternal way that they think, oh, she'd be a great mother.
It's like, honey, we're 50.
Yeah.
I know, exactly.
Yeah, totally.
Or like, here's my kid for my first marriage.
Yeah, but whatever. It's like, they want to come and be all in the cozy bubble of the home we create.
Sure.
But I want to get out.
Don't worry.
So, yes. Yeah.
J-Lo ain't your mama.
Then. Right. Exactly.
Is there a decade transit that's coming up for you both?
We're in it.
You're in it.
The Chiron return, which is 49-50. So that's an interesting one. That's when you suddenly are like, God, all that stuff that matters so much to me, those don't anymore. It's very interesting how it also syncs with kind of hormonal cycles or childbirths and reproductive cycles, reminding us that we're animals.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, who am I? What do I want?
Yeah, the Chiron is a wounded healer comet, and it goes between Saturn, which is structure and boundaries, and Uranus, which is complete rebellion and disruption of all that. So it's kind of, it's what's your wound and how do you create a safe space and also freedom so you can bring your wounded wisdom into the world. In your 50s, you become this, you have your second Saturn return mid-50s, like 56. Yep. So it's like that, the decade of the 50s and then into the 60s are all, a lot of, it's like repeating transits. There's not anything really new.
Okay.
Yep.
Like, not a there's not going to be a new return again. Until
and if you didn't
80s.
Learn the first, or learn, quote better, unquote, yes. the first time, would it kind of be the same, or would it?
You just keep building on it.
Got
but
it.
Yes, I've seen that happen with clients. I had a client who worked in fashion for years and had not dealt with some eating disorder stuff as a teen, and she turned 49, and like all that stuff came up, and she had to change industries because it was too intense for her. Out of that, she became like an advocate for people who are dealing with that. We all have our wounds, but yeah, it's a chance to, if you have not worked on them. Right now, Chiron is an Aries, so people who are having Chiron returns are dealing with anger issues. Like, look at all the, and then collectively, look at all the anger, the gun violence increase. The world is collectively going through these cycles too. So, But yeah, really learning how to stand up for yourself, self-identify.
You have that with your North Node and Jupiter and Aries in your chart. So, So you want to look at the person that you pick, not as like, should I or shouldn't I, but like, why them? Who is this person? What are they mirroring to me that I...
And also, why us? Let's run this super couple
chart.
Why
am I here?
You
know? Yeah. Why us? Why them? Yeah.
Fascinating.
It's more like, get curious. Yes. Instead of like, should I, shouldn't I, stay or go? All these polarities.
We should mention that in the book, we've actually set up a little companion website so that people can, with a calculator, see just... You have to run this composite chart in order to understand the book.
Great.
So it has just a little bit of work that you have to do, a little calculation.
It's kind of fun.
It's a fun creative challenge because we're coming up with like cheat sheets. You get at supercouple.com with the book, you can go log in and there's a little hub with resources and printable things and guide to the four super couple seasons to take you through the decade. We also have a little outro at the back of the book, our kind of manifesto on 5D relationships, because as we're using these tools, the nature of relationships is changing in the Aquarian era. Yeah. We don't need, marriage came about for property reasons, as most of us know, but like the reasons that people got married don't even make sense.
You said we're going from agrarian to Aquarian.
Yeah.
Unless people start doing the farms. And
Aquarian.
But
you know,
Aquarian, agrarian is going to be different than an age of Pisces one. So
what else about the Aquarian age do you see affecting relationships?
One interesting thing is that, like, I think every 250 years or so, Neptune and Pluto trade places in the sky. And from 19, I feel like I can say this here.
We're
waiting for space to share this astro nerdery, but from 1979 to 99, they switched places.
Okay.
And Neptune became the farthest planet out and Pluto came closer to. And I feel like the people who grew up in the 80s and 90s have this totally different job on the planet and different relationship to spirituality and death. And all the themes of Neptune and Pluto were brothers in mythology. That's when technology came into this big download for everybody, like just the speed of it. So I don't know. I think it changed.
I totally
it's like it changed 3D. Well, what happened was that we no longer had to be in the same location as another person to love them or have a relationship with them.
Wow.
That was unheard of before. People fall in love in DM chats or
my hairdresser met his now boyfriend on TikTok.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's happening.
It's happening. Like, I know it's not so shocking for the
kids listening. Yeah.
I know, but I really didn't think about that, how the internet really dropped in during that time and how that really changed the options when it came to either finding people, staying connected to people.
We were limited by the 3D plane. Mm-hmm. We had to see.
Also the rise of polyamory and just open, or not even relationship anarchy is a term that I love, because I think that is very Aquarian era. It's like, well, we get to make the rules how we want to and set, you know, the communal nature of Aquarius merging with relationships. And
yeah, I mean, we worked on a reality TV show that we came up with that was bought by Amazon Prime, Cosmic Love.
But genius.
Thank you. But it had to be very, like, because of the way the producers and everybody, like, set it up to be a reality show, it had to be all heterosexual couples, which made no sense in this age. So super couples could sound very much like you need to be in a couple and that's the ultimate state. But our message is really not that. It's just, it should always be a choice.
Yes.
And here's a way to help make your choice better and more informed and guided, so that really you know that your choices are coming from an authentic place in you instead of outside of you.
And we're all in relationship. You know what I mean? So it's not just romantic. And we read Maya and Chris's charts and I feel like, it's so valuable.
Well, exactly.
So valuable, whether it's family members or business partners, best friends. Like there's a depth to which we can go in our relationships that could totally change the experience. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I recommend doing a super couple chart with every member of your family. My daughter and my stepdaughter become a Virgo together, a Libra and Leo in their signs. And, like, you know, that's the only person that my daughter will, like, follow rules with me. She's a Scorpio. So she just wants to be, like, totally bonded all the time.
Totally.
Not talk, you know.
Wow. Yeah.
So it's so helpful, too, to navigating that.
I can only imagine with kids. I'm excited to run all the charts.
Oh, yeah. When that time comes, if it does, if you choose it. Yes.
I would love to finish up with just a little insight into the second half of 2023, what we can expect.
Mm-hmm. Well, the second half of 2023, the big divider is the North Node changing, moving from Scorpio South Node Taurus North Node, which began on January 18th, 2022.
Okay.
Those are the Scorpio rules reproduction. Taurus rules work and money. We have quiet quitting, Roe v. Wade. I mean,
recessions,
NFT crashes, everything. So a lot of the focus is on, and these sort of these insidious players on the world stage. So it's not that that ends, but we sort of evolve into this Libra South Node, Aries North Node. It's more that same thing.
War and peace.
War and peace. Libra is peace. Aries is war. And relationships, the South Node, like, okay, relationships need an upgrade. Taking into account this new Aries energy that's about redefining, trailblazing. And Libra is all about sharing. So how do we share? When do we realize we've had enough? So it's kind of like a reset, too.
Interesting. How long does that last?
That lasts for 18 months until January 11th, 2025.
Okay.
Also, Venus is turning retrograde. Venus will be in Leo for a very long time, for four whole months. It usually stays in the sign for 4 weeks. From June 5th to October 8th. So, like, we've got the summer of love. Woo-woo. Leo is all about romance and play. But July 22nd to September 3rd is Venus retrograde, and that comes along every 584 days when Venus shifts from being a evening star, so you can see it Venus at dusk to a morning star. So you'll see Venus right before dawn. So we always say metaphorically, it's like a chance to put your relationship issues to bed and write a new story. So a lot of focus on where we are addicted to drama, where we write people off too quickly, where it's all about worrying what other people think about our relation. You know, it's like Leo cares about image and getting the shiny gold star, but how are we letting other people's, we want to look good together. Well, what if you like someone that nobody in your life understands? How do you follow your heart? And that's a big deal thing. Is there anything else coming?
No, that's the main
biggies.
Yeah. Mercury retrograde on New Year's over the holidays.
Of course.
I know.
But let's not think about it because we're still recovering from it over the last holiday.
I know. I was going to say we had it over this last holiday.
New Year's.
It goes
December, January 1st, 2024.
When it went direct, we sent out our book proposal.
I was going to talk about books because all the Sagittarius in your super coupled chart is all about publishing. So
very, and when you said that, I was like, wow.
Oh,
us too. To bring back to my desire to like focus and drop in and all of that, the book has been such a beautiful, and I can only imagine, I would love to talk to you about writing a book. But I've just loved just fully immersing myself in that process. I think because, it just allows that depth. I'm not distracted, or I've set myself up so I'm not distracted. And I'm really able to feel, I don't know, I feel powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's nothing better than being in that flow state where you're connected to what you're doing.
Yes.
And your purpose.
It's really like when we write, I don't know, for me, when I write horoscopes, it takes me a minute to get into it. But once I am, I feel like I'm just like
channeling.
I've got so much information to download. And then you start to have this romance with words.
Yes.
And, ooh, the alliteration. Yes. And
And you both do that just so beautifully. I'm really, I'm excited to dig in and then to pick your brain on all things writing.
We're a book factory.
We have a dinner.
I know. I can't wait.
Say anything about a book. We've got you.
Well, thank you for this. This was so special. I can't wait for people to pick up Super Couple. Tell me where people can
get it on Amazon. Amazing. And from us at astrostyle.com.
Great.
In our shop.
And
if you get it in our shop, you get access to the hub. And
awesome.
We actually have a guided audio companion to go with it too, with us talking through each of the planets and how to use it. Because we understand it's a new system. We want you to really, you got to adopt it and then become.
But literally, supercouple.com, we somehow snagged that URL.
How did you do that?
We paid a little cash, but still it was part. I know. Can you believe it?
Wow.
So you can buy the book there, right? And
just
go to
supercouple.com.
That's probably the best place to get it if you want to just
Have
a more immersive experience.
Totally. I think that's necessary with something like this to really let it land. Amazing. And then also, Cosmic Love on Amazon Prime.
Yes.
So fun. I love, and I know nothing about your process in creating it, but I loved thinking about it and watching it because I could kind of see you two behind the scenes. Like, I hope you had a lot of creative power. I have no idea how it works.
We did exactly what an extended version of what we did when we read your charts here.
Yes.
We looked at the composite, we looked at the synastry, we looked at the people that were cast
from the tapes
we had gone through.
We got to live in Malibu right on the PCH for 6 weeks. And so we had this giant wall that was filled with charts. But we'd already started tuning in to everyone before the show and wrote their names under a crystal. And it was so much
it was a fascinating experiment. Wow. A lot of friendships surfaced. Nobody stayed together, but I believe that was because it wasn't really set up to facilitate.
Totally.
Great, you matched, but there's a lot of work that has to be done.
As with any relationship.
Necessarily either, so.
Yeah.
No pre-Saturn return.
Youth is wasted on the young.
Great, they looked young and hot on camera, and they were completely the wrong age for a super couple relationship. But,
Interesting.
And a perfect age to get married on TV in 3 weeks. Or whatever.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it's wild, but it was cool. I'm always so excited to see these more spiritual concepts or modalities brought into the mainstream. It's cool to see because I know it's going to be happening more and more and more. It's not just going to live on Gaia. Like, right. We're going to bring it in a little bit more.
Now on all the reality dating shows, they have conversations about their signs now.
Yeah, it's like, very cool.
I love it.
Yeah.
Use the tools, whatever you can.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, this was a blast.
So
love
fun.
You both. I appreciate you making the time, and I'm excited for our audience to get Super Couple taken to the show. And yeah, looking forward to 2023 too. Thank you for sharing that. It's always nice to go into parts of the year where you can kind of anticipate and not feel like bombarded by life happening to you. So thank you.
The focus really is on relationships as we go forward. And that's the new currency, I think, of the age of Aquarius. And that's what's going to keep us feeling secure.
Amazing.
Thank you so much, Ofi and Tali, the Astro Twins. The book is Super Couple. You can get it anywhere books are sold now. And their website is astrostyle.com.
Almost30.com. Almost 30 podcasts on Instagram. We're kind of popping off. There's been a lot of reels that have hit the millies lately and just are sparking a lot of conversation within our community, which is so much fun. And then TikTok. Our TikTok has been a place where we share interesting insights and nuggets from the show. So it's like a great dose of positivity when you're scrolling on TikTok. And then I can be found on Instagram at It's Krista. So it's ITSKRISTA.
And I'm at Lindsay Simcik, SIMCIK.
We love you guys. Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.